Although millions of visitors will flock to Yellowstone National Park this summer, Atlantic City-based author and journalist Marjane Ambler is one of the few people who's lived there when the park is buried in snow. The former High Country News editor lived with her husband, who drove a snowplow, inside Yellowstone for 9 winters during the 1980s and 90s. In her new book, Yellowstone Has Teeth, Ambler recounts stories of terror and wonder during her time there.
When people ask me why I wrote it, I say that there's a lot of mythology surrounding the park. And part of it is that all the books that are written about Yellowstone are about rangers, and almost all about male rangers. So I wanted to show a hidden community of the women who either are rangers or support troops for the rangers, and the maintenance workers. My husband and the people who shovel the roofs, and there's a lot of other people who keep the park operating who normally aren't in the spotlight.
What was the community like and the area around it? I mean, I understand it to be pretty isolated.
Yeah, we were 30 miles by snowmobile from the nearest road, which meant going over Sylvan Pass, or we could go 50 miles to the north or 50 miles to the south if we wanted to get a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk.
There was a passage in the book where you talk about how some of the people that are living in your community give you lots of tips on how to transport groceries safely. Tell me what it was like to go to the grocery store and what you had to remember when you're packing your snowmobile.
Well, we learned a lot from the people in our community. We were mutually dependent. We learned that if you're going to pack milk, you ask the grocery store to freeze it before you arrive so that it won't burst. If you're going to carry avocados or bananas, you put them inside your snowmobile suit so they won't freeze. If you're doing eggs, you put a rubber band with some foam or padding in there. So there were a lot of tricks, but we never did get it completely right.
The book is rich with descriptions of snow. Would you mind reading an excerpt for us?
Often the crunch of my skis and the puffs of my breaths were the only sounds. Climbing the bluff above Fishing Bridge each evening, I learned to hold my breath to listen to the swans, sometimes feeling faint before I remembered to exhale. Looking out over the lake for signs of freezing, it was hard to imagine such a large body of water ever becoming solid. But the next ice age hovered at my elbow. The lake remained frozen for nearly half the year, usually not thawing until late May or early June. The old-timers told tales about haunting sounds from the lake's ice, so we awaited the freezing eagerly.
You've been skiing your entire life. I'm interested how your relationship with snow changed after spending all this time on the interior.
Well, the last year that we lived there, it snowed every week through the 4th of July, and my husband was plowing snow on the 4th of July. So winter was wonderful. I skied every day outside my back door 100 days of the year. The spring was what drove us nuts. It's different now, but at that time it just went on forever, and you got tired of the green and white being the only colors, and there was some sensory deprivation.
You mentioned a lot of run-ins or avoiding run-ins with bison. Can you tell me about that?
Well, the bison tend to go to sleep in the middle of the road at night. One incident that we didn't witness but we heard about was this guy plowed into a whole herd of bison, and this calf came flying through his windshield into his lap with two broken legs. And it was a horrible thing. He was horrified by what he had done, but he was even more horrified by all these cows that were crowding around him to see why this calf was bawling. So he dove under a log right by all these nervous little hooves, big hooves, and he managed to survive, but the calf did not. So we didn't experience anything that gory ourselves, but we had some close calls. When you look up at a bison from a squatting position, they fill up the whole sky. They are big. And we learned that if they have their tails up, they're either going to charge or discharge. There's certain things that you learn after you've lived there for a while, but at first, you don't know.
The book offers such an intimate, interesting perspective of such a famous place. Marjane Ambler is the author of Yellowstone Has Teeth, out by Riverbend Publishing. Marjane, thank you so much for coming to talk with me about your book.
Thank you, Rebecca.